The Twilight Zone. The Road Less Traveled. Fade in. Interior, living room, night. Jeff McDowell and his wife Denise, an attractive couple in their late 30s, are cuddled together on their couch watching TV. She's sleepy but contented. He's rapt on the screen. The light of the TV plays over their faces. The furnishings are eclectic, not expensive or terribly chic, but comfortable. There's a fireplace with bookshelves to either side stuffed with magazines and plenty of well-read, dog-eared paperbacks. Off-screen, we hear dialogue from the original version of The Thing. The exchange, "What if it can read minds?" "Then it'll be real mad when it gets to me." Jeff smiles. Behind them, we see their 5-year-old daughter Megan enter the room. Megan.
Daddy, I'm scared.
As Megan comes over to the couch, Denise sits up. The girl climbs up into Jeff's lap. Jeff.
Hey, it's only a space carrot. Vegetables are nothing to be scared of.
Beat. Smile.
What are you doing down here anyway? Aren't you supposed to be in bed?
Megan.
There's a man in my room.
Denise and Jeff exchange looks. Jeff hits the pause button. Denise.
Honey, you were just having a bad dream.
Megan, stubborn.
I was not. I saw him, Mommy.
Jeff, to Denise.
My turn, I guess.
Jeff picks up his daughter, carries her toward the stairs. Jeff, cheerful, reassuring.
Well, we'll just have to see who's scaring my girl, huh?
Aside to Denise.
If he reads minds, he'll be real mad when he gets to me.
Cut to interior, Megan's bedroom, as Jeff opens the door. A typical untidy 5-year-old's room. Dolls, toys, a small bed. A huge stuffed animal, fallen on its side, fills one corner. The only light is a small nightlight in the shape of some cartoon character. Megan points. Megan.
He was over there. He was watching me, Daddy.
Jeff's point of view. As he looks. Under the window is a shape that does indeed look like a man sitting in a chair staring at them. Back to the scene. Jeff turns on the overhead light, and suddenly the man in the chair is nothing but a pile of clothes. Jeff.
See, it's nothing, Megan.
Megan.
It was a man, Daddy. He scared me.
Jeff musses his daughter's hair. Jeff.
Just a bad dream, Megan. My big girl isn't scared of a little nightmare, is she?
He carries her to bed, tucks her in. Megan looks uncertain about the whole thing.
She sure doesn't want to be left alone.
Jeff.
Can you keep a secret?
Megan nods solemnly. Jeff.
Conspiratorially. When I was a kid, I had lots of bad dreams. And monsters.
Megan, wide-eyed.
Monsters?
Jeff, in the closet, under the bed, everywhere.
Then my dad told me the secret.
After that, I wasn't scared anymore.
Whispers in her ear.
Monsters can't get you if you hide under the blankets.
Megan.
They can't?
Jeff, solemn. Definite.
Those are the rules. Even monsters have to obey the rules.
Megan pulls up her blankets and ducks underneath, giggling. Jeff,
that's my girl,
lifts blankets, tickles her.
But blankets can't hide you from daddy's.
They tussle playfully for a moment. Then Jeff kisses her, tucks her back in. Jeff,
now go to sleep.
You hear?
Megan nods, ducks under the blanket. Jeff smiles, goes to the door, and pauses to look back before turning out the light. Jeff's point of view. Of the room, the bed,
Megan's small form huddled under the blankets, the scattered toys. He flicks the switch. Smash cut to interior, hut in Vietnam, night. Everything is the same. Everything is grotesquely different. The walls and roof are thatched. The floor is dirt. The arrangement of objects is a distorted echo of Megan's room. Outside the window, a nearby fire illuminates the scene, instead of a street lamp. In a dark corner where the stuffed animal lay in Megan's room, a body slumps instead. Every toy, block, and object from Megan's room has a counterpart placed identically. Pots and pans, a rag doll, a gun, etc. The bed is a pile of straw and the blanket is ragged, but there's still a child's body beneath. Only now there's a dark stain spreading on the cloth. We hear Jeff's shocked gasp. The Vietnam shot should be held very briefly, almost a subliminal. Then Jeff turns the light back on and we smash cut to Megan's room. As before, everything is normal. Close on Jeff. Disoriented, confused, he stares for a beat, shakes his head. Back to the scene. Jeff turns off the light again. This time nothing happens. He closes the door softly, and we follow him downstairs. Living room. Denise is glancing over some legal briefs, oversized glasses on the end of her nose. She glances up at Jeff and notices something in his expression that makes her put away the papers. Denise. What's wrong? You look like death warmed over. Jeff, still shaken. It's nothing. I thought. Ah, it's absurd. Like daughter, like father, I guess. Forced laugh. The man was a chair full of clothes. Denise. She's got your imagination. Jeff. I wondered who took it. Denise. She's okay, though? Jeff seats himself, picks up the remote control, turns the movie back on just in time for the keep watching the skies speech. Jeff. Sure. Cut to Megan's room. The girl is huddled under the blankets in the soft glow of her nightlight. We hear her soft, steady breathing. The camera moves in slowly with the faint sound of a wheelchair moving across a hardwood floor. Close on Megan, as a shadow falls across her. She does not stir, not even when a man's hand moves in from off camera, grasps the corner of her blanket, and pulls it back with ominous slowness. Fade out. Fade back in. Interior classroom the next day. A college lecture hall. 20-odd students are watching and taking notes while Jeff paces in front of the class, tossing a stub of chalk idly as he lectures. On the blackboard is written New York Journal, Hearst, and New York World, Pulitzer. Jeff. When Remington complained that he couldn't find a war, Hearst supposedly cabled him back and said, "You provide the pictures, I'll provide the war." Now, that anecdote is probably apocryphal, but the role the yellow press played in whipping up war fervor was beyond dispute. A sullen, dark-haired student with the look of a jock interrupts the lecture before Jeff can proceed. At least they were on our side. Jeff stops, looks at him, sits on the edge of his desk. You have a point to make, Mueller? Jock points at board. These guys. At least they were behind our boys. The real yellow journalists were the ones who ran down everything we did in Nam. Jeff, dryly. Not every war can be as box office as Hearst's little shoot-em-up, I guess. Jock. Yeah? Well, at least we won that one. We could have won in Nam, too. Jeff. I wouldn't go that far, Mueller. You need to spend more time with your text and less with Rambo. The class breaks into laughter, but the jock looks angry. Before Jeff can resume his lecture, the class bell rings. The students begin to rise, gather up their books, etc. Jeff. Remember,
Chapter 12 of Emery is due by next week. He puts down the chalk and begins to clear his papers into a briefcase as the students file out. The jock lingers until he and Jeff are alone. He steps up to the desk. Physically, he is bigger than Jeff, who closes the briefcase and looks up at him.
So where were you during Nam, Mr. McDowell?
The two men lock eyes for a long, solid beat. It is Jeff who breaks and looks away first, his eyes averted as he replies. Jeff, brusquely.
I was in school. Not that it's any of your business.
He brushes past, walking a little faster than necessary, while the jock watches him go. Cut to exterior, daycare parking lot, day. Denise and Megan emerge from a daycare center and cross the parking lot to her Volvo. Denise, on her way home from work, is dressed in a chic tailored suit, carrying a briefcase. As she unlocks the car, we hear the sound of a wheelchair. Angle over Vet's shoulder at Denise. In foreground, we see a man's shoulder and the back of his head. Denise backs out of the parking spot, turns toward the camera. Angle on car. As it passes, we get a quick glimpse of a legless man in a wheelchair. The vet, turning to follow it with his eyes. He is long-haired, bearded, his trousers pinned up at mid-thigh, wearing a shapeless olive drab jacket without badges. We should not see his face clearly. Close on Megan. Staring out the car window, she sees the vet, follows him with her eyes until they turn a corner. Time cut to exterior. McDowell House, evening. Denise pulls up and parks the Volvo in the driveway behind Jeff's modest Datsun. The house is a two-story suburban tract home, pleasant, respectable, in a decent neighborhood, but nothing too large or expensive. A comfortable, middle-class sort of house. Cut to interior kitchen. Denise and Megan enter, to find Jeff tossing a salad. A small TV set sits on the counter, and Jeff watches the news from the corner of his eye. The newscaster is reading a story about El Salvador. An open bottle of wine and half-empty glass are close at hand. Jeff turns when they enter. Jeff. Roast beef, baked potatoes, tossed salad, and wine. Kisses Megan. Except for you. You get milk. To Denise. So, how does that sound?
Denise. Like paradise regained.
To Megan.
Go wash up, honey.
Megan rushes off upstairs.
Denise. So what's wrong?
Jeff. Wrong? What makes you think something's wrong? Denise gives him a rueful smile, picks up the wine bottle, sloshes it thoughtfully. Denise.
Clues, Sherlock. The last time you served wine was the day your car got banged up in the school lot. What is it this time?
Jeff looks as though he's going to deny it, then stops, shrugs. She knows him too well.
Jeff.
This morning in class, a student asked me where I was during Vietnam.
Beat.
Grimace. I told him I was in school.
Denise. You were. I remember it distinctly. I was there with you, remember?
Jeff. I left out the part about the school being in Canada.
Denise. It's none of his business anyway.
Jeff. That's what I said. I just feel...
Beat.
Hesitant.
I don't know.
Guilty. Like I did something wrong.
Dumb, huh?
He opens the oven, pokes at the roast with a long fork.
Jeff.
Well, it didn't moo. I think it's done.
Cut to interior dining room. Denise is filling bowls of salad as Jeff carries the roast out on a platter. Megan has not yet reappeared. Denise goes to the stairs to call.
Denise.
Megan! Come on down, hon. Dinner's ready.
A beat. Then a door closes upstairs and Megan comes down. Denise takes her by the hand, frowns.
Denise. Megan, you didn't wash up.
Megan.
The man was upstairs, Mommy. He talked to me.
Denise,
put upon. Honestly. Come on, let's get you scrubbed up for dinner.
We track with them as they go up the stairs and into the bathroom. Kneeling, Denise takes a face cloth and begins to wash a dirty spot off of Megan's face.
Denise, honey, it's okay to play pretend, but you shouldn't try to blame someone else when you forget to do something.
Megan,
it's not pretend, Mommy.
Denise,
there, that's a little better.
She puts down the washcloth, looks at Megan's reflection in the mirror, smiles. We move in tight on the mirror as Denise's eyes rise. Behind them, the open bathroom door is reflected, and outside in the hallway, sitting in his wheelchair, is the vet. Denise spins around, and off her shocked reaction, we cut to dining room. Jeff grabs a baked potato, winces as it burns his fingers, tosses it onto a plate, and then reacts as we hear Denise scream off screen. He's up like a shot, running for the stairs. Angle on Jeff on the staircase as he almost runs into Denise coming down.
Jeff, what's wrong? Denise, frantic. Where is he? Did he come past you?
Jeff, confused.
What? Come past me? Who?
Denise.
The man in the wheelchair.
Impatient, off Jeff's confusion.
He was there, in the mirror. I mean, he was in the hall, but I saw him in the mirror, and then he must have come by you.
Jeff, baffled. A man in a wheelchair? He takes Denise by the shoulders, tries to calm her down.
Jeff, continued,
I think I would have noticed a man in a wheelchair, honey. Besides, how the hell could anyone get a chair down these stairs? Denise gapes at the narrow steps, realizes that Jeff is right, but she knows she saw the vet. She's totally lost.
Denise, he was there, I tell you. If he didn't come down,
whirls, scared he's still up there. Megan appears at the top of the stairs, calm, unafraid. Megan,
he's gone, Mommy.
Denise wraps her in a tight hug.
Megan,
don't be scared, Mommy. He's a nice man.
Angle on Jeff as he watches wife and daughter embrace.
Jeff,
there is no way anyone could have gotten out of this house. What the hell is going on here? Starts upstairs. Whatever it is, I'm going to find out. Jeff's point of view as he moves upstairs, down the carpeted hall, slamming open doors, peering into the rooms, finding nothing. Bathroom, linen closet, Megan's room, the master bedroom and bath, all empty. Angle on Jeff, standing in his bedroom looking angry, disgusted. He starts back out into the hall, takes a few steps, and stops dead outside the bathroom. He drops to one knee, reaches out, close on carpet. As Jeff traces the clear, unmistakable track of a wheelchair tire in the thick shag carpet.
Jeff,
what the? Smash cut to close on muddy ground, matching shot, the motion of Jeff's fingers continuous from the last shot, but now the carpet is mud, the tracks are footprints, and Jeff's sleeve is an army uniform. Exterior, jungle trail, day, Jeff's point of view. Jeff looks up from the footprints. It's a jungle trail in Vietnam, narrow, overgrown, thick foliage all around. A black grunt stands a few feet away, a kid, no more than 19, his uniform dirty, a crude bandage wrapped around a head wound and soaked with blood. He's holding an M16.
Grunt, hey man, what's wrong?
Jeff, as he staggers to his feet. It's Vietnam. He's in camis, an M16 slung over his shoulder. He can't believe any of it. He gapes at himself, the trees, the gun, at everything. Grunt, disgusted, scared.
Don't freak on me, spaceman. I need you, man.
Jeff backs away from him, shaking his head.
Jeff, no. No way. This can't be...
He backs hard into a tree, stumbles. He's lost. When the grunt approaches, Jeff shrinks away from him.
Jeff, stay away from me.
Grunt, confused.
What the hell's wrong? It's me, man.
He grabs Jeff by the shoulders, shakes him as Jeff struggles,
Grunt. Cut it out, man. It's me. Hey, spaceman. It's only me. Close on Jeff as the grunt shakes him. Grunt, off screen.
It's me, man. It's me. It's me. It's me. It's me.
Off Jeff's scream, we smash cut to interior, hallway, where Denise has a hysterical Jeff by the shoulders, shaking him, shouting at him. Denise.
It's me, Jeff. It's only me. It's me.
Jeff suddenly realizes that he's back, wrenches free, staggers back away from her, panting. Jeff.
Where? My God, what happened to me?
Denise.
I heard you yelling. When I came up, you were on the floor. It was like you were terrified of me.
Jeff.
It wasn't you.
Beat, confused. Denise, I was here, and then suddenly I wasn't. I was in Nam.
Beat,
continues off Denise's worried look.
I know, it doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense.
Denise, timidly.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe you had some kind of flashback or something?
How the hell can you flash back to a place you've never been?
Denise.
Jeff, I'm scared.
Jeff takes her in his arms.
Jeff. You're not the only one.
Dissolve to interior bedroom late that night. Dinner's been reheated and eaten. Megan's been put to bed, but Jeff is still shaken. Denise, in pajamas, sits up in bed, pillows propped up against the headboard bookcase. Jeff, still dressed, stands by the window looking out, his back to her. Jeff, dully.
I have to go away.
Denise.
Go away? You're talking crazy, Jeff.
Jeff turns to face her.
Crazy? Tell me what's crazy? A man in a wheelchair who leaves tracks in my carpet and vanishes into thin air? That's crazy. One moment I'm in Megan's room and the next I'm in some hut in Nam? That's crazy.
But it's happening. All of it's happening. Beat, then earnestly.
Denise, don't you see? It's happening on account of me. I don't know what's going on, but I'm the cause of it.
Denise.
You haven't done anything,
Jeff interrupts. No? I can think of something I did. I was drafted, Denise. I chose Canada instead, and now...
Beat, confused.
Now it's catching up with me somehow.
Maybe Nam was my fate. Maybe I was supposed to die there. Maybe this legless ghost is the guy who went instead of me, or someone who died because I wasn't there.
He turns away again, stares back out the window. Denise.
That's your guilt talking, not you. And for what? You said no to a dirty little undeclared war. You helped to stop the war, damn it, you know that.
Jeff.
All I know is that I've got to leave. If I go, maybe you and Megan will be safe.
Denise gets up from bed, walks over to the window, puts her arms around Jeff, hugs him. He does not turn. Denise.
Jeff, please. Whatever is happening, we can face it together.
Close on Jeff, worried but softening. He doesn't want to go.
Not really.
Jeff.
Maybe you're right.
He turns toward her, to kiss her. Smash cut to interior brothel night. Jeff completes the turn to find himself standing in the bedroom of a brothel in Saigon, a young Vietnamese prostitute standing there with her arms around him, waiting for his kiss. The light flooding through the window is red, garish. Jeff cries out and thrusts the prostitute away roughly. She stumbles and falls.
Jeff.
No, no! Not again!
He backpedals and runs from the room wildly as the woman gets back to her feet. Cut to exterior McDowell House night as Jeff's Datsun revs up, backs out of the driveway, and screams off down the street. Denise comes running out of the house, a bathrobe flapping around her legs, shouting for him to stop. Denise.
Jeff! Jeff, wait!
The car screeches around a corner, and Denise stands there shaking, slumped in despair. Time cut to interior Denise's office the next day. A busy legal aid office. Denise is a staff attorney, with a private, glass-walled cubicle. She's working on some briefs, although it's clear from her face that she's depressed, unhappy, worried. When her comm line buzzes, Denise lifts the phone. Denise.
Yes, Susan?
Susan, off-screen.
Your husband's on 5.
Denise.
Thanks.
Pushes phone button, eager.
Jeff, where have you been? I've been so worried.
We hear Jeff's voice over the phone. It has a hoarse, raspy tone. He sounds strained, uncertain. Jeff, off-screen.
Denise, is it you?
Denise.
Of course it's me. Where are you? Are you all right? You sound strange.
Jeff, off-screen.
Strange?
Beat.
I'm fine, Denny. How are you?
Denise.
Denny? You haven't called me Denny since high school. Jeff, what's the matter?
Jeff.
I just need to see you, Denny. Just for a little while. I'm at home, Denny. I need to see you.
Denise.
I'll be right there.
She hears the click as the phone is hung up. She rises, hurriedly stuffs her briefcase, heads through the door into the outer office, where she pauses by the receptionist's desk. Denise.
Susan, I'm going home for the afternoon. Ask Fred to cover for me.
Susan.
Sure. I hope nothing's wrong.
Denise nods grimly and exits. Cut to interior Denise's car. She has a worried look on her face as she drives home. Cut to legal aid office. The outer office. Susan has just hung up the phone as Jeff comes through the outer door, haggard and unshaven, wearing the same clothes we saw him in the night before. Susan's obviously surprised to see him. Jeff, weary, abashed.
Hi, Susan. Denise in?
Susan.
She went home about 5 minutes ago, right after you called.
Jeff. Right after I called? I never called. Susan.
Of course you did. I put you through myself not 10 minutes ago. I ought to know your voice by now.
Jeff stares with dawning apprehension and fear.
My God!
He turns and runs from the office. Cut to exterior McDowell House day as Denise's car pulls up. She walks to the kitchen door. Interior kitchen as Denise enters. Denise calls loudly.
Jeff? I'm home.
There's no answer. Denise frowns. We track with her as she walks through the kitchen and into the living room. Denise.
Jeff? Are you there?
Silence for a long beat. And then from upstairs comes Jeff's voice. Except that it's not quite his voice. It's a little harsher somehow, with a bitter edge to it, a rasp. And it's weak, a bit faint, as if talking was an effort. Vet.
Denny, I'm here, Denny.
Denise moves upstairs, down the hall. Denise.
Jeff?
Vet.
Here. Back here.
The voice is coming from the bedroom. Denise enters. The drapes are pulled tight. The room is very dark. Denise.
Honey?
Silence. She crosses the room, pulls back the drapes, and as daylight floods the bedroom, the door slams. Denise whirls. Denise's point of view. What she sees. The vet, legless, in fatigues, sits in his wheelchair, blocking the only exit from the room. We hold on him for a long beat. And for the first time we see that he is Jeff McDowell.
a gaunt, hollow-cheeked Jeff McDowell, his scraggly beard doing little to disguise obvious ill health. His speech patterns are rougher, cruder. This Jeff has been educated by Vietnam and VA hospitals, not colleges and universities. His eyes are deeply sunken. He looks at her like a starving man staring at a feast. Back to the scene. Denise is terrified for a beat, and then she recognizes him. Denise, scared whisper.
Jeff?
The vet smiles a tremulous, tentative smile. He looks almost as scared as she does. Vet.
They call me Spaceman. I got the name in Nam on account of the movies I liked.
Beat.
You're looking good, Denny. Even better than you did back when we were together.
She backs away, shaking her head. Denise. This isn't happening. Jeff. What am I saying? You're not Jeff. You can't be Jeff. The vet rolls toward her. Cut to exterior freeway day. Jeff's car is barreling through freeway traffic, cutting in and out, hurrying home. He comes down an exit ramp, speeds along a residential street. Interior Jeff's car. Behind the wheel, he looks grim and intent, a little frightened. Cut to the bedroom. The vet rolls forward as Denise backs away from him. Vet.
You want to see my dog tags? I'm Jeff McDowell. Just as much as he is. You want to test me? Go on. I know all the answers. We met in high school, working on the school paper. Your parents are named Pete and Barbara. The first time we went all the way was on your couch. The night they went out for an anniversary dinner and I came over to watch War of the Worlds on your color TV. You've got a birthmark on the inside of your thigh, about an inch.
Denise, interrupting.
My God. You are, Jeff. What?
Vet looks down at missing legs.
What happened? Is that the question? Vietnam happened, Denny. Vietnam and the draft lottery and a mine.
Denise.
You didn't go to Vietnam. You went to Canada. We went to Canada together. We got married up there. You taught up there until the amnesty.
Vet, bitter laugh.
I'm still waiting for my amnesty.
Denise.
How did you get here? Where did you come from? And why? What do you want from us?
Vet.
I just want...
Before he can finish, they hear the sound of squealing brakes from outside. Cut to exterior McDowell House day. Jeff's Datsun screeches up into the driveway, behind Denise's Volvo. He opens the door, rushes inside. Interior living room, as Jeff bursts in through the kitchen door. Jeff, wild, yells,
Denise! Where are you? Denise!
He looks around the room, snatches up a fireplace poker. Cut to bedroom, where Denise hears him yelling. Denise shouts,
Jeff! Here! I'm up here!
Vet,
Denny, please. I don't have...
Denise, louder.
Jeff!
We hear Jeff's footsteps pounding up the stairs, and a moment later the door bursts open as he enters, brandishing the poker. The vet wheels his chair around and backs off. Jeff.
Stay away from her! Leave her alone!
Jeff stops dead as the full realization hits him. He stares. Jeff, softly.
You're... me.
Vet, soft, weary.
Bingo.
Jeff.
This isn't happening. This is some kind of...
Vet interrupts.
Dream? Yeah. But are you dreaming me? Or am I dreaming you?
Beat.
I don't give a damn either way. I think we're both real. I think that back around 1971, we came to this fork in the road. And you went one way and I went the other. And we got to different places.
Jeff slowly lowers the fireplace poker. He's pale, scared.
Jeff. Then, those flashbacks I've been having, those are... Vet, hard smile.
Mine, brother. Part of the baggage. I guess they just come with me. And you and me, we're the same person, right? I could feel it happening. Leaking. But I couldn't stop it. We just got too close.
Denise. Jeff? Both of them turn to look at her. Denise continues with difficulty. I mean, spaceman, in your road, what happened to
Vet? To us, Denny? You and me?
Denise nods. Vet.
You died in a motorcycle crash while I was in Nam. The guy you were riding with didn't believe in helmets.
Denise looks sick, turns away. The vet stares off into space, remembering something. And when he continues, his voice is dead, hollow, full of pain.
All the time I was over there, I knew I'd be coming back. I knew I'd find you again and make it right between us. And then your mother wrote me that letter.
Beat, with great difficulty.
I was short, man. I was so short. I should have known better, but I wasn't thinking right. Wasn't paying attention. You got to pay attention. I felt it when I stepped on it. It makes this sound, this little click.
Looks at them.
That kind of mine? It don't go off when you step on it, you know. It's when you take your weight off. The rest of the guys just looked at me. I told them to get the hell away, and they backed off one by one, but they all kept looking at me. Staring at the dead man who was standing there shouting at them. Even when they were all out of range, I couldn't move. But they were watching me. All of them watching me. And finally, I couldn't take it no more. I jumped.
Bitter laugh.
We never could jump very far. Huh, Jeffy?
Close on Jeff. For a beat, the silence is profound. Jeff. You saved them. You saved their lives. Back to the scene. Vet.
Yeah. They gave me a medal.
Jeff, you saved them. Turns away. And I didn't. That's it, isn't it? I wasn't there. He flings the poker away violently and it smashes off a wall. Jeff turns back, angry. Jeff.
All right then. Guilty. I'm guilty. I took the other road. But whatever... retribution is due, it's mine. Denise and Megan have nothing to do with it. Whatever you have to do, leave them out of it.
Angle on Denise, as she listens to Jeff with fear. Horror. Denise.
No.
Looks to Vet.
I went with him to Canada. We decided together I'm part of him, and everything that happens to him.
Angle on the Vet. After a long beat, he smiles gently. Vet.
I know. That's why I loved you, Denny.
To Jeff.
You don't understand, man.
You think I'd hurt them? Laughs.
And they say us vets are crazy.
Back to the scene. Jeff. Then, why? Why are you here? Vet.
Good question.
grim smile.
I'm dying, man.
Denise.
My God,
Vet.
The doctors never tell you, but I feel it coming. And it's okay. I lost everything important a long time ago. My legs, my girl, my future. Even Jeff. And Spaceman, he didn't have nothing but some real nasty memories.
Beat.
I was in the VA, waiting to get it over with. And I kept thinking about Denny, you know? Wondering how it would have come out if I'd done it different. I guess I just wondered myself here. Huh?
Laughs.
I always liked ghosts, but I never thought I'd be one.
The vet turns his wheelchair to face Jeff. Vet continues,
I just wanted to see them.
Beat, smile.
You did okay, McDowell.
Jeff shakes his head, obviously eaten up by guilt. He's sound and whole, but he's the guy in the chair, too, and his face is corroded by self-doubt. Jeff,
you did okay. I wasn't there.
Unable to face his crippled counterpart, Jeff turns away. Vet, softly,
I wasn't there either. Not for Denise. Not for Megan.
The vet rolls himself over to a dresser and picks up a framed photograph of Megan. Stares at it. Vet continues.
If you can hold your little girl in your arms and think for even a second that you did anything wrong, then you're the dumbest human being ever walked the face of the earth. Believe me, Jeff, you didn't miss nothing.
Angle on Jeff as he turns back, reacting to what the vet has said, to the obvious truth of it. He's choked up. Denise goes to him wordlessly. They embrace. Vet.
I think maybe it's time I went.
Denise turns to him. Denise.
You don't have to. I mean, you can stay.
Vet, sadly.
No, I can't. At least now I've got a few things to remember.
Huh? Jeff reacts sharply. He's had a thought. Jeff.
The flashbacks.
Beat.
You and me, we're the same person.
It has to work both ways.
Beat.
Decisively.
I've got memories, too. Maybe if we touched, or...
He steps forward, but the vet rolls backward, away from him. Vet.
No! You don't know what you're talking about.
Jeff, softly, with compassion.
I'm talking about the day Denise and I got married. Our honeymoon. The day Megan was born.
Vet. Bitterly.
It ain't one way, Jeff. Think of what you'll get in return. You'll remember them dying around you. The hospitals, the years in the chair.
Beat.
You'll remember standing there while they backed away from you, watching you, all of them watching you. You won't sleep so good. And sometimes you'll wake up screaming.
Jeff hesitates, looks to Denise. She nods. He kisses her, steps toward the vet. Jeff,
I'm not afraid of a few nightmares.
Wry smile.
I can always hide under the blankets,
right? He holds out his hand. The vet stares up at him, then, very slowly, reaches out and takes Jeff's hand in both of his. Jeff winces sharply, as if in pain. The vet closes his eyes. Tears begin to run down his cheek. Close on Denise as she watches. Angle past Denise on scene. The two Jeff McDowells seem to glow with a strange blue-green light as ghostly afterimages flicker about each of them. Her Jeff, standing, seems for a moment to be wearing a uniform, and then a long, straggly beard. The vet appears to be dressed in a 60s-style tux, then in civilian clothes. His trouser legs fill out as legs shimmer into view, spectral and glowing, but legs nonetheless. He opens his eyes, stares in wonder, then rises from the chair. Vet.
I guess maybe we're both heroes, huh?
The vet, now standing, embraces Jeff, the strange light playing all about them. Then the two bodies seem to melt into each other, to merge and become one. The light grows so intense that Denise shies away, covers her eyes. When the glow fades, the wheelchair and the vet are gone, and only the original Jeff McDowell remains. Denise runs to him and they embrace, holding each other very tight and hard. We hold the shot as the narrator's voice comes up. Narrator.
We make our choices, and afterwards wonder what that other road was like. Jeff McDowell found out and paid the toll. A lesson in courage and cartography from the mapmakers of the Twilight Zone.
The End.